Harper Audio presents The Professor and Other Writings by Terry Castle. Read by Maggie Meg Reed. Author's Note. The essays appear in the order they were written. The earliest, Courage, mon ami, appeared in 2002. The latest, The Professor, was written just last year. All have autobiographical elements. Having labored in the dusty groves of academe for over 20 years, I felt, as a new millennium unfolded, a desire to write more directly and personally than had previously been the case. It should also be noted that in several essays, notably the title piece, The Professor, I have changed names, places, and other details to protect the privacy of various individuals involved. Courage, mon ami. You speak like a green girl, unsifted in such perilous circumstance. Hamlet, Act 1, Scene 3, Lines 101 and 2. A year ago this past autumn, a year before the old life so shockingly blew away, I made a long-contemplated trip to France and Belgium to see the cemeteries of the First World War. My quest, though transatlantic, was a modest, conventional, and somewhat geeky one. I hoped to locate the grave of my great-uncle, Rifleman Lewis Newton Braddock, 1st 17th County of London Battalion, Poplar and Stepney Rifles, the London Regiment, who had died in the war and was buried near Amiens. Facts about him are scarce. My grandmother, whose only brother he was, has been dead now for 20 years. No one else who knew him is still alive. By stringing together odd comments from family members, I've learned that he worked as a greengrocer's boy in Derby before joining up in 1915, that he served first in the Sherwood Foresters, that he managed to survive 3 years before getting killed during the final German retreat in June 1918. My mother, born 8 years after his death, claims to have heard as a child that he was shot accidentally by his own guns. But my Uncle Neil, her only brother, can't believe they would have told the family that. Newton was said to be artistic. Two dusty little green-gray daubs, both of them Derbyshire landscapes, are among his surviving effects. There are two photographs of him in uniform, one from the beginning of the war, the other from the end. In the first, he looks pale, spindly, and rather stupid, a poorly fed late Victorian adolescent overfond of self-abuse. In the second, the one with the moustache, he is stouter, tougher, dreamier, and looks distressingly like both my mother and my cousin Toby. My companion, Blakey, says he looks like me. I don't see it. I've been fascinated by him and the Great War since I first heard of him at the age of 6 or so. I'm now 48. Somebody should write about women obsessed with the First World War. Everybody knows Pat Barker, of course, but there's also Lynn MacDonald, a former BBC producer whose dense, addictive, exhaustively researched oral histories of the war, 1914, The Days of Hope, 1915, The Death of Innocence, Somme, They Called It Passchendaele, The Roses of No Man's Land, To the Last Man, Spring 1918, are a fairly devastating moral education for the reader. And once you begin to delve, as I have done, into the netherworld of popular military history, battlefield guides, memorial volumes, regimental histories, military souvenir websites, it is peculiar how many lady archivists you encounter. Some of these, it's true, are part of husband and wife teams. The prolific Valmy Holt, for example, author with her husband of My Boy Jack, The Search for Kipling's Only Son, 1998. John Kipling died in his first half hour in action at the age of 18 at Lewes in 1915. Though his stricken father carried on a 20-year search for his grave, his remains were not found until 1992. When not writing, the Holtz run a sprightly operation known as Major and Mrs. Holtz Battlefield Tour Company. Their Battlefield Guide to the Somme and Battlefield Guide to Ypres, reads one cheery promotional blurb, have brought these areas to life for tens of thousands of people.